Jared and the GM live at Corner Pub downtown for, again, the final opportunity you have to win a pair of tickets on the Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip out to St. Louis next month, Saturday, February 9th. So come on out and stop by the brand new Corner Pub downtown and win those tickets. Now, Floyd, we've done this once before, and we have got to do it again. It is time for our Vanderbilt caucus, where we have got to discuss the state of Vanderbilt basketball, because Vanderbilt takes on Tennessee today. And this is a game that when I was growing up, Vanderbilt versus Tennessee, I mean, because, look, Vanderbilt wasn't going to beat Tennessee in football back then, so it was everything when Vandy would play Tennessee in basketball. And some years Vandy had the better team, some years Tennessee had the better team, and it all culminated my senior year of high school, the 2008 game, number one Tennessee going down at Memorial Gym, an all-time great game from Shane Foster, an instant classic. I mean, I remember going to bed that night, turning on SportsCenter, and seeing how much time they were dedicating to Vandy. And I was like, oh, my God, look how much time Vandy basketball is getting on SportsCenter. And this was back before there were 900 cable channels about sports, and being on SportsCenter actually mattered. And Vandy was getting the love, and Vandy had the players. Now, people forget that that Vanderbilt team lost in the first round to Siena because their coach. But, I mean, Vandy, they were legit. And now, I mean, I know it's Vandy versus Tennessee, and Tennessee's the number one team in the country, so I'm not taking anything away from Tennessee or from this game tonight. But Vandy stinks, and they shouldn't stink. Vanderbilt is 0-5 in the SEC. They are 9-8. They have no prayer of making the NCAA tournament for a second straight year. Now, maybe the coach is the problem. I don't know the answer as to what's wrong with Vandy hoops. But I decide, let's open it up. Let's open it up to Vandy fans, to non-Vandy fans. Floyd, your thoughts. I mean, this was a team that, with Kevin Stallings, they didn't win a lot, and they didn't get to the tournament all the time. And when they did get to the tournament, they didn't do very much. But the last 2 years, they have just been pitiful, just awful. And I know everyone's going to say, well, Darius Garland got hurt. And there's a lot of truth in that, because he's supposed to be the real deal. But Floyd, they're horrible. And if Vandy wants to matter in this town, I mean, let's just cross football out, because they're never going to try hard enough to be good in the SEC with everybody who's, you know, trying to the tune of $100 million a year. They're never going to do that. Their net baseball and women's basketball, which, by the way, is also a dumpster fire, those sports are never going to matter enough in a pro sports town to where it's like, well, Vandy baseball makes them more meaningful than the NFL draft. Like, that's just never going to happen. So basketball is the one thing that Vanderbilt can be good at, has been good at, should be good at, and yet they're not good at it. And I thought it was all the coach, that Kevin Stallings was a bum, and his tenure at Pittsburgh has proven that that is the case. But I am looking at this, and I am trying to figure out what is wrong with Vandy basketball. So let's open it up to it's the caucus. Everybody's involved. What is wrong? Is it Vandy? You know, is it a Nick Zeppo's problem? It's that starts at the top. Is it a David Williams problem? Is the coach not very good? Is it the injuries? Is it the lack of support in the town? What is it that is keeping Vandy basketball from being relatively interesting at all?
Well, Vandy basketball, I mean, baseball always has been, or recently has been, but Vandy basketball over time has always been part of the program that would compete. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they would go out there and they would, you know, some years better than the other, et cetera, but it was never ugly. You know, it was, it seemed like it was always, we're close. And for Vandy, I mean, that's all they can ask for, you know. And so, I mean, it's interesting because I hear you, you know, and we've always said this, if you didn't like Coach Stallings, I understand that. I have no problem with it. That's fine. But if you're going to replace him, what do you got to do?
Get somebody better.
Find somebody better. And, you know, Is this coach that guy? I don't know that. I don't know that. Now, the record would indicate he's not. Now, I know you were really high on him coming out. You thought this guy was the answer.
Totally fooled.
You thought he was going to be in the tournament last year and for sure this year. So I thought they'd be like
top 15 this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. But the image, the apathy with Vandy Athletics, I used to be able to brag to people when we would talk about Vandy and I was with the Titans, and people would say, what about Vandy? And I'd say, you know, there's only one sport that Vandy isn't really, really competitive in. And that's football. And I said, everything else, they're competitive in tennis and basketball and baseball. You would go through it all. That's slowly crept away. It's diminished. It's to the point now where you say, okay, what are they competitive in?
Oh, when you were general manager of the Titans, their women's team was like an Elite Eight Final Four
team. Oh, yeah. I mean,
women's team is worse than their men's team right now.
And you could say, you know, well, they won a national championship in tennis, and they won a national championship in this and that and the other. And you could say, now football, they got a ways to go. I understand that. But, and like I said, now you can't say that. And I think the problem is the apathy in the program has just dwindled to the point that can you resurrect it? I don't know. I don't see anything going on right now to make me believe you can. I mean, there is absolutely no buzz at any level of athletics coming from Vandy. Nobody's excited. Now, baseball's
number one.
Yeah, baseball.
And men's tennis, got to give men's tennis, you know, their props because my friend's assistant coach. He does a great job.
But I think
I don't know if they're any good or not. But
generally speaking, you go through and you know, you look at that program, you say, okay, what are you excited? I mean, I used to love, when I was scouting, I would love going to college campuses because there was always something going on. You could go to a college campus and you would go through, you would watch spring ball or you would watch a workout. There was always a basketball game. There was always a soccer game.
There was always,
you know, lacrosse or tennis or something going on. And you would go watch those just because, here we've got a major university in my city that I could easily drive to every afternoon and watch some. Won't do it.
No interest.
No interest. I mean, I can't even get excited. It's easier for me to go to Brentwood High. And what's that?
And basketball should be the one sport at Vandy that should be, you know how there's certain businesses they say are recession-proof? Vandy basketball should be, like, apathetic-proof. That should be the one sport over there that they're like, you know what? We have all this money. We don't really care about being good at sports. But gosh darn it, we're going to be good at basketball. You know, this is the one thing we're going to care about. And I just don't know. Like, I want to say Bryce Drew is just not a good coach and that I was fooled, but what I saw out of him at the start, that, you know, you don't make that stuff up. And even listening to him talk about getting ready for this game, the positivity, the energy, the things that a lot of successful coaches have, he has. He is a good recruiter. Like, he is going out and getting those guys. You know who the story that he told yesterday? You know who he almost got to commit to Valpo?
Who's that?
Admiral Schofield. He had Schofield in the office. He was going to have Schofield at Valparaiso, and then Tennessee jumped in and ended up getting Schofield. But, like, those are the kind of guys he was getting at Valparaiso. And now he's here, and he's getting top 10 recruiting classes, and yet they can't win? And the other thing that really hurts Vandy basketball, and this is another thing about this game that 10 years later – is very tough for Vandy, and they have got to understand this, and this is for all sports, but especially basketball, is 10 years ago or 11 years ago with the Shane Foster game, that was the biggest thing going on in this town, and everybody was either a Vanderbilt fan or a Tennessee fan, and everybody wanted to go to the game, and everybody was jazzed up at the game, and it was a raucous crowd, and everybody watched the game. What's different about this city now is the Nashville Predators are the number one team in this town. And they play, you know, similar nights. Preds play tonight. Now, it's good for the Preds that they play at 9 o'clock tonight so that you can watch a basketball game and then watch a Preds game. But a lot of nights cross over. You're going to watch Preds, you're going to watch Vandy. You're going to go to Preds, you're going to go to Vandy. Another thing is that hurts them is of the people that move here now, Like, let's say it's 60% original people and 40% new people. And I have no idea what the number is. But let's just use that for reference. 100% or 85% of the 100, both people that are from here and people that have moved here, like the Predators, right?
Oh, I have no idea.
I mean, the people that have moved to town have adopted the Predators as their team. The other people that have moved to town have already have their football team. Like, they're already a fan of, you know, the Browns because they're from Ohio, or the Saints because they're from Louisiana or whatever. But they kind of care about the Titans a little bit because the Titans games are on every Sunday. And, you know, it is the town they live in. So even though they're not a Titans fan or the Titans aren't their favorite team, they still care about the Titans because they watch them every week and because everybody loves the NFL. Vandy doesn't have any of that. Vandy basketball doesn't have any of that. If you moved from out of town, you think the people you're trying to look at things to do in Nashville, people are like, hey, Johnny, let's go to the Vandy basketball game. And again, I when they hired this coach, I loved this coach. I thought he was a great coach. I thought he was going to get Vandy into the Elite Eight. I thought Vandy was going to be a real power. And they have stunk ever since Matthew Fisher Davis had the dumbest foul in the history of the NCAA tournament. They have stunk. And I want to know why. And I want to know how, you know, what's wrong with this program and why is the program where they are and how do they get it back on track? Because tonight's game should be a great game. It should be number one Tennessee and Vandy, a big rivalry and trying to knock off number one and all of that. And it's just not that.
Well, I mean, they'll be, I think we would both say there'll be a lot more UT fans there than there will be Vandy fans.
No, I mean, I think there will be more Vandy fans, but it'll probably be close to 50-50.
Do you really think?
I do think that. I don't know why I think that, but that's what I think.
Okay.
So we're starting off our second Vanderbilt caucus, the second time we've done this in 3 years. Why is Vandy basketball where they are? Why are they so bad? What can they do to fix it? What can they do to get to where they could be in this town? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. And then we also have to address the other elephant in the room. There was nobody more vocal in their support to get rid of Kevin Stallings than me. And yet, I don't know if you can argue Vandy's in a better place without Kevin Stallings. What does that tell us?
That tells us a lot, I think, right there.
We'll get to that next as we are live out at Corner Pub downtown here on Jared and the GM. Again, come on out. If you want to see what the TVs look like in this joint, you have got to look at my Instagram story at the Jared Stillman. I posted a story that has the LED wall that can either be 200 little TVs. Right now it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 screens. But it can be one giant screen. It can be three big screens. It's unbelievable. Yeah, look at my Instagram story to see what that's like. And again, come on out and register to win the Predators Yeehaw Brewing Company bus trip to St. Louis when the Preds take on the Blues February 9th. Come on out, register to win, and two tickets on that bus trip to St. Louis and back can be yours. Jared and the GM right here, live from Corner Pub downtown. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Just to play that up as with your team in the locker room before the game. We got the number one team in here. They're in our house. This is what we can do. Do you use that?
You know, we'll use that. We use, you know, other areas that we talk about. You know, the biggest, I think, for us is you know, we want to take a step forward. We want to play tougher. We want to execute better. We want to play more together. And so at the end of the game tomorrow, we want to be able to look at each other in the eyes and say that we did those things.
Vanderbilt coach Bryce Drew wants to take a step forward. I would say a step forward at 0-5 in the SEC is probably a pretty good idea. Now, taking a step forward tonight would be a big, big, big deal. But Floyd, we have to look at what Vandy is, right, as we do our Vanderbilt caucus. We have to look at Vandy basketball. We have to say to ourselves, this team is mildly underperforming expectations. 0-5 in the SEC, 9-8 overall. Now, Darius Garland did get hurt, and he's supposed to be like a top five pick in the NBA draft, so you're probably better if you have a top five pick or something like that. But I begged on the radio to get rid of Kevin Stallings because I thought Kevin Stallings was the problem. And that if you got rid of Kevin Stallings, you'd bring somebody new in who would win more than Kevin Stallings, and everybody would be happy. And I thought that's what they were getting in Bryce Drew. He says all the right things. He does all the right things. He recruits. He does all that. Is it fair to argue that Vanderbilt reached their potential with Kevin Stallings? Or that maybe the Stallings supporters were right and I was wrong? That maybe Stallings should be the coach here? Because I look at Stallings 8-24 and 0-18 in the ACC record last year, and I think to myself, easy there on Kevin Stallings, could have done a better job because his last team was 0-18 in the ACC.
Well, I don't think, I mean, to me, and I know there's something to that, but I mean, I always go back to, what was he here? You know? And I mean, I don't know what his records were over time, but I mean, whatever it was better than what it is now. And so I would say, you know, it's the same deal. You have to judge when you're making these decisions, you have to judge which way the program is going to go. And the scary part about Vandy, the sad part about Vandy is that in my mind, that's all talk. Because there is nothing to back it up. There's nothing anytime, I don't care who it is, stands up and says, we're going to be a great athletic, we're going to win, we're going to do this, that. Based on what? Based on what? I mean, there is nothing out there. They don't care about the programs. They don't try to sell the programs. The programs are just swimming in a cesspool over there, and they're trying. You got a poor coach, whoever the coach is, fighting his butt off to keep his head above water.
So you think this is the larger Vanderbilt problem than it is a Bryce Drew problem?
Oh, well, Bryce Drew's caught up in it, unfortunately, now. But the problem, I mean, the thing you have to ask yourself was, did somebody like Stallings understand that? Did somebody like Stallings, was he able to keep his head above water in all of this without complaining, without, you know, pointing fingers at people and all that kind of stuff? Derek Mason, I think, is doing a great job of that. You don't hear Derek gripe. You don't hear Derek point fingers. You don't hear. And yet he's looking at the schedule and saying, we got to compete against Alabama and Georgia and LSU. I mean, he's got no chance. He's got no chance. And there's nobody over there that's even trying to persuade the general public that we're going to give him a chance. I mean, I don't know what they expect. I don't know how they expect to get it, because there's certainly no support over there. And they don't even, you know, it's not like they've given up even trying to pretend like, hey, we're supporting these guys. And I don't care who says what, whether it's your buddy Zeppos or it's whoever it is. You know what? Nobody over there likes athletics. Nobody except the coaches. And the coaches are stuck in it. And I think that when you're, if you're like the basketball coach and you're at Valpo and you say, okay, I've got a chance to get in the SEC, to some people that's tremendously alluring. Golly, I'm going to be a basketball coach in the SEC. Well, after he's been for a while, he may look back at Valpo and go, you know what? That wasn't a bad job now. I mean, at least they gave you a chance to win. They understood winning, because what's going to happen to him here? He's going to come here. He's going to be here 3 years. He's going to get fired. And, you know, he'll be back at someplace else later. I mean, but he's got no chance.
I can't imagine this guy being a worse coach than Stallings, though.
All you can do is look at the record.
Wait, Stallings was 8-24 last year.
But he wasn't at Pittsburgh. I mean, he wasn't at Vandy. He was at Pittsburgh.
Vandy's got 9 wins this year.
Vandy, if he was at Vandy, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a big Stallings supporter. My only point is this: for you to be at Vandy for how long was he here? 24 years?
No, like 18 or something.
18 years. You learn how to swim. You learn how to swim upstream. You learn how to swim fast and hard. Because if you don't, you get washed over the waterfall. And he had learned that. And I think there's a bunch. And Derek Mason, I think, has learned that. But there's a bunch
Corbin,
of other people.
Corbin is the definition of Corbin's, it. Corbin just blocks it out. He doesn't. I mean, nothing affects him.
He's got his own little utopia over there. I mean, he is without a doubt the luckiest coach over there. He's got he's got everything going for him. Nobody messing with him. He's got enough support from, I think, ex-players that he doesn't need money from the school. He does it. He can just run his program. Unfortunately, you can't run a football program like that, you know.
Like, even if Nick Saban got money from the former players, he'd still need a couple – he'd still need $50 million
yes,
to
sir.
Be able to do what he wants to do. Rick Barnes had something very interesting to say when he was asked about Vandy and about Bryce Drew and what Bryce Drew's doing at Vandy. And this is what Rick Barnes said yesterday. And I wonder how much of this is true and how much of it is just coach talk. This is what Rick Barnes said about Bryce Drew yesterday.
But I think he's certainly with his program is getting his foundation and getting his culture in place. And I know personally that takes some time to do. And then, like I said, he's had some setbacks with some injuries that are, it's tough when it happens. He's going to do a great job, and he has, and he's going to continue to do that.
I think that deep down inside, if I was a coach and an opposing coach said that about me, I would secretly hate it. Because nobody ever sits there with Bill Belichick and says, you know, it's tough being Coach Belichick. It's real hard, you know. He's trying to get people to believe in the Coach Belichick way, and nobody says that about him. They say that about the losing coaches.
They always, and with somebody like Bill, it's always, we know they're really, really good, and you know what? We're going to go out there and compete, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to, you know, it's always how can we find a way to win a game. But when you're, I mean, he's trying to support a friend, and I respect him for that. That's what he should do.
But do you think that culture thing that he was talking about, that Barnes started off by saying it's going to take time to get your culture in there? I know that firsthand. It's going to take him time. I mean, this is his third year, and I wonder if Barnes to me is either talking about one of two things. One, he's either pointing the finger at Stallings and is saying it was such a disaster when Bryce took it over that he's got to change the whole thing. Or it's two, and this is more likely, Bryce has got to get the people at Vanderbilt to think like Bryce and not think like Vanderbilt. And unfortunately for you and I, we both know that that's not going to happen at Vandy.
Yeah, I think the culture's pretty well set at Vandy. I think we all know what that is. And so, I mean, you can talk about it and you can, you know, stand on the table and dance and you can do all of those things. Those, if you go to Vandy, you're a smart kid, right? All you got to do is look around. Look around. Look at where you play. Look at where you work out. Look at who you're competing against. Look at what you're playing, the number one team in the nation. Go to their basketball gym. Look at their place. What is the seat? 25,000 or something?
And it's about like 18, I think.
I think they expanded it.
Now, I'll tell you this. I've been to Thompson Bowling, like when I was with the U of L women's team, like been inside the arena, been all that. We played the Lady Vols there. I mean, that's a gym now. You know,
I mean, you look at that and you go, wow. Then you go back home and you look at your place. And you go, okay, why'd I come here again?
I mean, I've been there sometimes where, like, you look at the building and you're like, can someone clean the dust up off the floor? So you give Bryce Drew none of the blame for this, for why Vandy basketball sucks so bad.
Well, I mean, I think whoever is there is in a impossible. That's why I'm saying Stallings was maybe the answer. Only because he could fit, he could operate in those constraints. And that was it. I'm not sure anybody else that truly wants to win a championship, that winning is their obsession, and they, you know, that's what they're going to do, you can't survive at a place like Vandy. You can't, because you're not going to have a chance. Hmm. You know, for you, I mean, if football, what's a big year? Make a bowl game. Win six games.
Congrats,
make a bowl
great
game.
Job,
Way
coach!
To go! Extension, lifetime contract.
You know, he's never even won a bowl game.
I mean, that's where they are. You know, where, I mean, you know, most coaches really, really struggle in that kind of an environment, because they're doing every single thing humanly possible for them to try to make this program better, and nobody else is helping them. Nobody. And yet you can't say anything. You can't say, well, you know, nobody, who's helping me? They don't even let us talk to the to the benefactors. They've got to go to the medical school or someplace. I mean, we can't even get any money. I mean, it's really, really hard. It's really, really hard. And I respect those guys over there because I know how hard they work and I know, you know, what it means to them. But I don't know what kind of chance they have. I mean, you're at Louisville. They understand playing basketball at Louisville.
Oh, we cheated as much as you can cheat.
Compare the program.
Oh, it wasn't even close. I mean, I remember when I got to college there. And I was like, there, you know, Pitino walks into anywhere and it's like, oh, my God, Rick Pitino is here.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, I don't even like Stallings.
It is a totally different environment, totally different world. Expectations are totally different. And
they get no coverage in this town. Like, this is the crazy thing is we've done 30 minutes on Vandy. That's, like, the most we're going to do. Like, because they don't demand the coverage. I get all the information, all the data on what people listen to in Nashville. They do not listen to Vandy talk. And they used to back when I was a kid. They used to listen to all the time. But, like...
Well, I remember when we first came here with the Titans, hardest ticket in town to get was a Vandy basketball ticket.
That is so sad.
It was hard. I mean, you couldn't get one. And it was, like, the thing to do when we got to town. Hey, what sport? Oh, Vandy basketball. We're going. Come on. We'll get you a ticket. I mean, it was a big deal. And that's, you know, evaporated down to... whatever it is now.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take some calls in on Vandy today. Again, they get ready to take on the number one team in the country, the Vols, who Rick Barnes has got his program in a great spot as they get set to take on. 615-737-1025. So apparently a lot of people are mad at me, and I'm not even sure why. We'll get to that coming up next as we are live out at Corner Pub out here downtown. Again, you got to come on out and register at this brand new Corner Pub location where they've got a giant LED wall of TVs, and they've got TVs on TVs on TVs. Got to come on out and register. This is the new spot downtown to watch ball games. I'm just telling you. Corner Pub downtown. Come on out and register to win a pair of tickets on the Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip. Come on out and register. You must be 21 years or older. And again, that's for the St. Louis game at St. Louis. You hop on the bus here. You get off the bus. You go to St. Louis. Go to the game. Get back on the bus and you're back here. That is February 9th. For the St. Louis bus trip. Jared and the GM. Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Hiller. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm glad I'm a member of the Happy Hiller Club because I've got an issue that I'm going to have to call Hiller to come on out and fix. But what's great about Hiller is when they fix the motor in the bathtub, the jacuzzi, what I'm so thankful for is I know what I'm paying and I know why I'm paying, and it's because Hiller has true transparency pricing. That's right, true transparency pricing for all of your heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs, and they tell you what you're paying for and why you're paying for it. The other guys will come out, they'll look at it, they'll say, $6,000, not Hiller. They have true transparency pricing. And if you like the other guys or if you use the other guys, they can come on out to your house, give you a quote, and then Hiller will come on out if you're replacing your HVAC unit or you have major plumbing work. Hiller will come out to your house, and they will give you a quote, too. They'll give you a second opinion for free. That's right, a second opinion. So they'll come out and say, you know, the other guys say that this is that much, you know, this, that. That is what I keep stressing to people about Hiller. That is the Happy Hiller Club. That is Hiller. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical. Jared and the GM live from Corner Pub downtown. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
New England tried to play action earlier. I can't see it here. This has to be a run.
Second and goal to Burkhead. Burkhead to the end zone. Hello, Super Bowl. New England is heading back again for the third straight year.
Well, Tom, you win the toss in overtime. Yeah. Was there anything said? Let's just go down there. We know what we're doing. We've done this before in the postseason. Let's go just right down the field and win this with a touchdown. Anything like that, sir?
I know. I looked at Josh, and I said, you got any touchdown plays on that call sheet still? He said, yes, I do.
Touchdown, Patriots. Yes, Josh McDaniels did have it, and the Patriots won. And so last night, everyone on Twitter got mad at me. Now you're going to ask
for
because I tweeted out the same thing I said on this show, that if you've got a problem with the NFL overtime rule, you are a crybaby. That is what you are, a crybaby. You are a you want everything to be fair kind of person, Everything needs to be fair. Life is not fair. So what, it just comes down to a coin flip now? Yes. And then you get to go play defense. And then go get a defense. Oh, but you have the 31st best defense in the league. Well, guess what? Win the game in overtime. Guess what? Line up on side in regulation. You know, like, it's not that hard. And people are, like, furious. They're like, it's not fair for a coin toss to decide what happens in a game like that. What? It's not like the coin toss decides who wins. The coin toss decides who gets the ball first. Not who wins. Nothing like that. Somebody's like, well, so we should have a coin toss in basketball, and whoever wins that, if they score first, they should win? No. But that's not an apples and apples comparison. In hockey, you can lose the opening draw, and the other team can have the puck and possess the puck and score, and you don't get to touch it. And guess what? No one's saying that that's not fair. And the amount of just crying that I have heard over the overtime rule is so pathetic. And like, it's a poor reflection of American society right now of how many people are crying about the overtime rule.
They have, I mean, in the NFL, they go over things like this literally every year. When the competition committee sits down, there's about 15 things that it doesn't matter what the highlights of the season were. These are going to be points that will always be discussed. And overtime and what you do about it has always been one of those. And I'm sure they'll discuss it again this week. I mean, everything that people suggest, maybe not everything, I've heard some kind of outrageous things, but everything that is conceptually even possible that people have suggested in the NFL have been discussed for 10 years. I mean, the people in the NFL, it's not like they all of a sudden woke up and said, guess what? Whoever wins this coin toss is going to have a better chance to win the game. Well, no duh. What? Big surprise. Who's that shocker to? You know, I mean, such is life. But, you know, is there a way that you can get it to where both teams get the ball? No. I mean, there's no way.
It doesn't matter. But you don't need to.
It doesn't matter how you do it. It opens a whole can of worms down the line. And that's the problem. It's not anybody could say, well, we'll just let both teams have it. Oh, okay. We can try that. Well, what happens if it's tied after that? What, another tie? You want ties? No,
well,
we don't. We don't want ties.
Here's what's going to happen. People aren't ready for. This is what's going to happen if this were to happen in the NFL, where now everybody gets to have the ball twice. Well, now you're going to defer the ball, right? Like in college overtime. Well, the other team's going to get down in your end, and they're going to try to hold it for 10 minutes so that they kick a field goal with about a minute left. So now, even though you won the toss and deferred it in overtime, you've got 1 minute and a 10-minute period left. You've got 1 minute to go down and score a touchdown. So knock yourself out. Like that first drive the Patriots had against the Chiefs the other day was an 8-minute drive in a 10-minute period. Now, is it fair that the other team deferred the ball? Because they get 2 minutes and they got to go score a touchdown.
No. Yeah, I mean, all of these things, they've been through 1,000 times.
Well, I don't agree with that, Tate, because the NFL has done
about them. And they have gone through and run models of them. And, okay, what ifs? What if this happens? What if, it's like the penalties we were talking about before. You know, well, we're going to make pass interference one of those. Well, what if this happens? And, I mean, when you get down to the what-ifs, there are so many of them, and they're endless, you know. And then you're talking about having five-hour games, which isn't going to fly for anybody.
Well, somebody just texted me and said, why don't they adopt the college rules? Because that's not real football. You know, like, that's not football. Put the ball to 25 is not football.
And in the NFL, you can't go 7 overtimes. You know, you can't – the physical toil on your body – is a killer. I mean, players can't hold up to that.
Plus NBC saying, get that game off TV. Everybody turn to this game.
They eliminate – that would wipe out a whole other game. I mean, those kind of things can't happen in the NFL.
Again, to me, if you think they need to change the overtime rule, that is a reflection of you. That is the – well, it's not fair, Jared. Well, is it – okay, if everything has to be fair, then shouldn't we play every NFL game on a neutral site? because it's not fair that New England had to fly all the way from Foxborough to Kansas City and play in Kansas City Stadium, is it?
Or that Miami has to play in Buffalo in a blizzard.
Yeah, that's not fair.
That's not fair.
Not fair. So we got to change that rule. And then, you know, hey, it's not fair that New England had to play a first-place schedule and other teams don't have to play first-place schedules. I mean, when you got the Chargers this year in London, the Colts got Oakland. Well, that's not fair. So we got to change that rule. Life is not equal. And to me, this idea of shouldn't Patrick Mahomes have gotten the ball? Maybe if Patrick Mahomes' defense had gotten Patrick Mahomes the ball, just like the Rams got their guy the ball, do it. Stop crying to the crybabies out there. That's all I have to say. And I guess that made a lot of people really mad. Let's take your phone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. So if they said they were going to change the overtime rule, would you be for it or against it or
well,
not?
How are they going to change it?
Each team gets a shot at the ball.
Oh, they can't do that. I mean, in my opinion.
All right, well, tell us why they can't. 615-737, well, I mean, but do that next. Do that next. 615-737-1025, live out at Corner Pub downtown. Again, come on out, register to win those tickets for the bus trip. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025, the game. Jared and the GM are live out at Corner Pub downtown, the brand-new location with all the TVs. This Corner Pub location has not seen a college football weekend yet. So I want to reserve it for college football next season. So on the Saturdays of college football, I want everyone to not come here to the Corner Pub downtown so that just me and my friends can come here. Unfortunately, with all the TVs and the LED wall they have here, I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen.
This is a big place. I mean, I bet they seat a bunch of – look at how long this thing is.
Oh, it's a killer.
Gigantic.
And apparently the garage next door, you can park flat rate $10 after 5 o'clock. $10 after 5 o'clock, you can park there, come here to this Corner Pub location, and then walk to Preds games, and then come right back after the game's over. So if you're looking for parking, this is the kind of place to be. Corner Pub downtown, where we're registering people to win for the Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip. Back to the NFL overtime. So everybody's suggestion is each team should at least get the ball once. And you say absolutely not. Why?
Well, we have to keep in mind, why are we in overtime? We're in overtime to keep from having a tie. That's what you're trying to do, keep right from having a tie. Second thing is to not wear the players out, not cause any more damage than they're already getting by playing extra minutes. So they shorten the minutes down to where there's only 10 minutes. And if you're going to try to give both teams the ball, at the end of that, it's going to be a tie again. You're right back where you were. Why'd you play the extra 10 minutes? You know, I mean, the idea is to go out and find somebody that can win the game. That's why it's kind of set up the way it is. I mean, we're not looking for ties. We're not trying to increase the number of ties. We're trying to eliminate the ties.
Okay, but what about changing it for the playoffs where there are no ties in playoffs? To where it's in the playoffs, both teams get to touch it twice. Or get to touch it once no matter what.
If the other team scores first?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Well, you can do what you want, but I wouldn't change it.
So I wouldn't change it just on principle. The principle of not everything in the world has to be fair. And again, possession in the NFL, it's not like a coin toss determines who wins. It determines who gets the ball first. The Rams didn't win their coin toss, and they won their game because their defense stopped the best quarterback right now in the NFL. They intercepted him. So, like, I don't understand why that's so hard. The thing that kills me is when people bring up baseball as a comparison, and they're like, baseball, both teams get to bat. Okay, well, think about this, though. In baseball, the home team, every inning, gets to decide how they can approach their inning based upon what happens the inning before. Give up 4 runs in the top of the inning? Well, guess what? If a guy gets to second with nobody out, they're not going to bunt him over to third. But if they don't score in the inning, then they can bunt the guy over, and all of a sudden their whole strategy changes just to meek out one run to win the game. To me, that's less fair because that is decided by home field advantage or by just being at home. That is determined by that as opposed to football, which is determined by the definition of fair, a coin toss.
I don't know how much people have talked about the coin toss. What can be more fair than a coin toss?
There is nothing that is more fair than a coin toss.
People, well, we can do rock, paper, scissors. Nah, that's not.
That's not even 50-50.
No, there is nothing more legitimate than a coin toss. 50-50, okay, which is it? Now, if you got somebody that calls it right, congratulations. That's part of it.
Hey. It just drives me crazy because, like, people are, and maybe this is a much bigger thing, but I do not like the idea of having to live in an everything is fair society. You know, I think that that's sometimes the good thing is that I feel like society rewards the people who work harder than the people who don't.
Well, and I don't, again, it starts with a coin toss. Okay, how does that go? Well, that determines what you can. Now, if they're on offense, what do you have to do? Well, you got to play defense. You got to stop them. Because if they go down and score a touchdown, you're going to lose. So figure out a way to stop them. I mean, I don't know what's so hard about that. But it's, I mean, for some people, I mean, that is like a brain freeze. You know, they can't comprehend all that.
Well, it's like, why do we have to hold the Chiefs responsible to play defense? Because that's half of the game. Like, I know everybody wanted to watch Mahomes versus Brady, but guess what? Belichick cares just as much about Devin McCourty and what he does as Brady and what he does. Well, maybe probably cares a little bit about Brady a little bit more. But you think he's sitting there making sure Devin McCourty's where he's supposed to be? Yes. And again, the Rams, people say to me, well, Mahomes didn't get a chance and he didn't. Well, guess what? The league is focused on offense now, the way it's going. So it's not fair. Drew Brees is the best quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion. Right now, this season, Drew Brees is, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the league. Rams, stop him. So I don't know what the – and when you stop him, it actually gives you a better chance because now all you have to do is kick. Let's go to Mark, who's up next, 615-737-1025. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. I've got the way to figure this out. What they need to do is bring them to the center of the field before and do a, don't even do a coin toss. Start bidding on who will take the ball at what yard line. And whenever it gets down to the farthest back toward their own goal, that's who gets the ball first.
So somebody
bids, I'll take it at the 20, I'll take it at the 15, I'll take it at the 5. All right, buddy, you take it from the 5.
So somebody brought that up on Twitter yesterday. Thank you for your call. My response then was the same as now. This is the NFL. This is not an episode of The Price is Right. Like, this is, what a stupid idea. Like, well, you know what? I'll start with a runner on first base. Well, I'll take a runner on second base. How about that? Like now you're just overthinking it. Again, it's a coin toss. The definition of 50-50 is a coin toss.
And again, I think people have to understand. I mean, people don't think the league has thought about these things. You know,
well,
they don't
this is why I challenged that take is because I think the rule of fumbling the ball out of the end zone and the other team getting it at the 20 is the stupidest rule in sports.
Right. I mean, there are some stupid rules in every sport, but I mean,
you need to take that rule out.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's one for right now that's going to be in. Now, at some point in time, will they take it out? They probably will, but not now. But when it comes to things like overtime, I mean, the league has thought about this back and forth and up and down and all the different scenarios and the what-ifs and, the, you know, anybody that's got any kind of an idea about something, they listen to it. Now, most of them, they blow off because most of them are ridiculous. But, I mean, if there was a much better way to do it, I'm sure they'd be willing to do it.
Let's go to Jamie, who's up next here on Jared and the GM Live at Corner Pub downtown. What's up, Jamie?
Yeah, I was just calling, like Floyd said, at what point does it stop? If you give everybody the ball one time, then everybody has to get the ball two times if it's still tied, and then three times if it's still tied. For all the Chiefs fans that are complaining, I have a simple retort. Try scoring some points in the first half.
I agree. Line up on side. Thank you for your call. I mean, again, get a defense. Like, just because you don't play defense doesn't mean that we have to sit there and pander because you can't play it or are refusing to play it or whatever have you. So I just – it's so funny. People are so mad about it. Like Braden yesterday quote tweeted my tweet about how you're a crybaby if you don't like the overtime rule and said, oh, the nuance. And I'm like, what does he mean by that? Like, is this another one of those, like, trying to read too much into my tweets to get a different meaning out of my tweet than is actually in the tweet? Because we went over that last week, and this is kind of the same of, I'm only talking about the overtime rule here. I'm not talking about anything else. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM live at Corner Pub downtown. Again, come on out and see us today. Coming up next here on the show, as we have a great show. Coming up next, have the Titans committed to something that I'm a little worried about? But it looks like this is what they're going to do. If the Titans committed themselves to this, we'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.